Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. May I have some suspenseful reality show competition music, please? You may recognize this from Bravo's Top Chef.
Wow, lo and behold, octopus.
I had never honestly cooked octopus before. It was just ugly and it stunk and everybody was grossed out by it.
One of the most difficult challenges a chef can have is to make something that's so visually disgusting taste so good that you forget how it looks. You have 60 minutes to prepare a fabulous dish with what you have in front of you.
So on every show, all these young chef competitors are given a quick-fire challenge like this one. Some culinary problem to solve in an hour or less. Sometimes it's make an amuse-bouche with nothing but ingredients from a vending machine, or make a dessert without any sugar. They always manage to come up with some pretty impressive stuff.
What we have here is a quick tomato succo with octopus frites, and that's finished with a little bit of basil, some mint, and some chive. This is a red wine braised angel hair pasta.
It's good.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Some well-respected chef comes around, tastes all the dishes, and names a winner.
And the winner is Tiffany.
That's Tiffany Faison, a then-up-and-coming Boston chef who finished her 2006 season of Top Chef as first runner-up. She endured many a high-stress quick-fire challenge, and this Saturday at the Taste of Provincetown, she'll get to inflict that stress on some other renowned chefs. She's designing her own quick-fire challenge for three of the best culinary minds in P-Town. Tiffany Faison, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. You guys had to reach far back to find a quick fire that I actually won. There were not a lot.
But you did. You ended up doing terrific on the season as a whole, and that's back when I was watching Top Chef. You were my favorite. I was rooting for you.
Oh, yay!
Also with us, I should say, is one of Saturday's competitors, who is arguably the top chef of Provincetown, Chef Lawrence DeFreitas of The Muse on Commercial Street. Welcome.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm the top chef in Provincetown, but thank you for saying that anyway.
We'll see.
That's right. First of all, guys, just remind us what the Taste of Provincetown is all about.
Taste of Provincetown is a food and wine event that's happening in the town hall in Provincetown. It's a benefit for Mass Equality, so it's just an evening of really beautiful tastes of the different restaurants in Provincetown, different wine and liquor vendors that are bringing their best. So just a really sort of beautiful, lovely cocktail party, and then we're having the quick fire to increase the anxiety.
Mass Equality being the LGBT advocacy organization.
Exactly.
In the Commonwealth.
Exactly.
So, Tiffany, does it feel good to be on the other side of a quickfire challenge?
I'm not there yet, but it's definitely felt a little bit, I feel like Dr. Evil designing this thing. It's both gratifying and also a lot more relaxing, I'm not going to lie.
Well, can you give us a hint as to the kind of hoop you're going to have your chefs jump through?
Please.
I will say this. I have leveled the playing field. Completely. So I have three different chefs. They all have different restaurants with different sort of cuisines, different levels of skill. So what I've done is gone out of my way to make sure that the playing field has been completely leveled.
Can we say, though, there might be kind of an outer cape theme in the ingredient? Or?
Oh, that's interesting. No.
Chef DeFreitas, how do you prepare for something like this?
Well, I just keep my fingers crossed. And I hope it's just going to be a really fun event, actually. Because some of the judges are, I think, the Hat Sisters are going to be one of the judges.
They are.
That should be a lot of fun, too. So I just hope that whoever wins is just takes it, it's just a good community thing to have in Provincetown.
Well, Tiffany, when you did this on the TV show, you have the Top Chef pantry to work with,
right,
which is like a standing, list of ingredients, mm-hmm, that you're going to have at your disposal. Chef DeFreitas, are you going to bring some pantry ingredients with you? And if so, how do you think to bring?
Well, I was told I couldn't bring pantry.
You can't. They cannot bring their pantry ingredients.
So you're going to provide everything.
Yeah. Providing everything but tools. They can bring 10 tools of their own choosing.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure what the tools are going to be. 10 tools, I thought it difficult to actually bring. What tools to bring, actually?
Well, yeah, what toys are you going to bring?
A knife is a tool. A spoon is a tool. A hand blender is a tool.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah, but we've got to bring blenders anyway, so, what. Zesters and
blender doesn't count as one. Zesters, absolutely. Whatever you normally use in your kitchen that I think would allow you to be the most comfortable, bring the 10 things you use the most.
I'll also bring some people with me too.
People are not tools.
Most of them are not tools.
Some of them can be tools.
Excellent point. What does the winner get?
Yeah, what do we get?
Incredible bragging rights for the rest of your life.
Or the last 15 minutes. I mean, or the half an hour. That
no,
took us to
I mean,
the
I would
show.
Assume it would continue on. I mean, we can continue on through the rest of the year. You live and breathe with the rest of the chefs that you'll pummel. So,
that's right. Well, maybe this will be the. I mean, maybe this will be the start of another. It's like an annual event. Like
could be. Could be too. Annual. You could design. The winner could potentially design the quickfire some other time.
What a great idea!
What an excellent idea!
Yeah, get my own back.
You've both been kind enough to bring in some edibles for Meghna and myself. Chef DeFreitas, what do you have there?
Well, this is a blue marlin, carpaccio of blue marlin. And it's with thinly sliced blue marlin. And it's rubbed with fresh garlic, drizzled with extra virgin olive oil and fresh lemon juice. I've used two types of salts. I've used actually kosher salt uh-huh. and also smoked sea salt. And then garnished with Japanese seaweed salad. On top with tokibo, which is flying fish roe.
So it's like it's basically like a fish carpaccio,
exactly.
With just a
yeah.
gorgeous. I mean mm-hmm. that vegetable garnish with the. I'm sorry, what kind of roe is that?
Tokibo. It's actually flying fish roe.
Flying fish roe. I mean that is just exquisite. So Meghna, do you want to dig into that?
Oh yes, I do. And actually, I've been told that the recipe for this carpaccio is on our website, radioboston.org.
Yes, it is.
Let's
yes,
pass
is.
That over.
Secrets of Master Chefs on Radio Boston. I love it. Okay. It's got this gorgeous color. I mean, is that the natural color of the fish itself? It's sort of a conch shell pink. It looks.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of goes from light pink to a little bit slightly darker.
Okay. What fish is good in Provincetown right now?
Well, it's interesting that the striped bass is still running, but the season is over because the federal regulations stopped the fishermen from mm-hmm. fishing. I think it was like three Wednesdays ago we couldn't have fish anymore. So right now I'm using swordfish as a special catch. Of course, ubiquitous cod we're using all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, lobster and scallops for seafood.
Is that a marigold you're using as garnish?
Actually, that marigold comes from your garden. Usually I use nasturtiums, as I was telling Tiffany, but you don't have nasturtiums.
He tried to
outside.
Stage a walkout. There were no nasturtiums in your garden.
Yes.
That is absolutely heavenly.
Really. But, I remember I was in Key West, and one of the restaurants would do a lot of garnish, and they were using oleander flowers, not realizing that they're quite poisonous.
Whoops. I guess that violates that old rule that the garnish should always be edible.
It's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. It should.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely delicious. That was just heavenly. Thank you so much. Tiffany, you've got some cool things for us.
I have a box full of snacks. These are all things that are sort of representative of what we're doing at Sweet Cheeks, which is my restaurant that I'm opening in the Fenway in October. So it's a barbecue restaurant, very southern, authentically southern barbecue, really kind of just sweet feel around it. I want people to come in and have a good time, zero pretense around it, just really yummy food. So I have literally a metal can full of freshly baked biscuits and honey butter. So if you want to dig into some of
awesome.
Those.
Yeah, let's pass it over.
Okay. We have white trash fruit salad.
Meghna gets first crack.
There you go.
Wow.
Get in,
I feel like I mean, this is so spectacular.
This is great.
And Adam, you have white trash fruit salad, which is on the menu at Sweet Cheeks.
White trash fruit
salad? I know. And growing up, there was always like a gigantic bowl of ambrosia that just appeared at every like family function and holiday. So I thought if I could do some sort of a chef's take on that and really elevated in some way. So those are all seasonal fresh fruits. There's strawberries, blueberries, blackberries mixed in. And then we make our own marshmallow fluff with a little bit of lemon zest, and it's topped with just some almonds and a little bit of toasted coconut.
Marshmallow fluff, a local product.
Well, that's about as local as it gets because it was made in my kitchen this morning. But
the scent of those biscuits is just wafting across the studio.
One of the things. Growing up, my mother made incredible, incredible stuff from the South, and biscuits were always around the house. And I've had the hardest time finding that quality of sort of homemade, really beautiful Southern style biscuits here. So it's something that I really, kind of from my heart to Boston, wanted to bring to the city in a really special way. So, and then there's it's like a warm hug from Jesus.
Can we be done with the show now?
Yes.
And then we have some bread and butter pickles and some homemade lemonade.
So, I mean, I'd say when I think of barbecue restaurants in Boston, I think of Red Bones, I think of Blue Ribbon. Is this a little bit fancier?
No. Barbecue for me should never ever be pretentious or super fancy in that way. It kind of defeats the purpose for me. So what this is just incredible focus on technique and on the meats that we're bringing in, all as sustainably and responsibly sourced as possible. We're really focusing on making sure that we're doing the right thing. I think I continue to say this about Sweet Cheeks, that it's, for me, it's the place that you go where if you're not a foodie and you're not particularly paying attention, you just really enjoy it. It's yummy and you can't wait to come back. And if you're a foodie and into beverage programs and into food, you can look around and go, wow, these guys are doing the right thing. They're really paying attention to what they're doing. But I don't want it to be preachy in any way. So we have an all-American beverage program. So if it's not made domestically, we're not serving it. Just really fun, though. Everything on sheet trays with butcher paper. It's the place I want you to come, get a little bit too loud, a little bit too raucous, have like too many to drink, and then come back and enjoy it every time without really worrying about it.
And so. This is in the Fenway. When do you open up?
We open at the beginning of October.
Okay. And we should mention that your prior gig is you were the chef at Rocca, which was a much loved Italian place in the South End that ended up closing very suddenly in January. What happened?
You should probably ask others. I don't know.
You just did the food.
I did the food. And then one day we were closed without warning. So I'd love to be able to have some educated answer about why we closed. But I think when I joined the team, it was probably a little bit too late.
So goes the restaurant business, right?
As it goes.
Yeah. So is barbecue what it is for you going forward? Is this going to be your new thing, or is this just one project of many that you've got on the way?
This is one of the many that we have in pots on the stove. So we are... It's not what it is for me going forward. This is just something that is really near and dear to my heart that I wanted to bring into this city in a way that I haven't seen it yet. We're working on another project that's probably about a year and a half out that'll be a more fine dining restaurant. But I'll tell you now, give you the exclusive. It's called Workshop and Mercantile, and then that's all I'll say.
You have to say one more thing,
yes.
Which is something that you said to us right before we went live.
Oh, my God. I am such a fan. I am a huge, huge fan.
There it is.
But not just that. I think most chefs like rock it out in the kitchen with, you know, rock or rap or whatever it is, the music of choice is. And I will tell you, my line cooks are usually plead with me to put on music because it's usually you guys in the middle of the afternoon.
What does your staff think about that?
Well, I can say they're probably one of the best educated staffs in the city, but they might not be as motivated as maybe some hip-hop or rap would do for them, but...
Well,
but
this is the thing. I mean, people always say that they listen to public radio, whether it's podcasts or streaming or listening to terrestrial radio. They listen while they're cooking or doing their dishes or something like that. So this is just the natural extension of that.
It's true. You guys are bleeding into kitchens around the city.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
I'm just because I'm still like munching on these biscuits over here. Essentially, how do you make these?
A little bit of flour, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, a little bit of baking powder, and a whole lot of butter.
A whole lot of butter.
Yeah.
Like, what's the butter to other ingredient proportion?
Half and half.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, not at all.
Well, that explains why you just don't go.
That's really, yeah, that's a lot of the tenets of Southern food. You know, like mashed potato, any sort of potato is just a binder for usually cream and butter, and flour tends to be just a binder for butter as well. So if you start with that as your intention and move on, you'll hit the mark.
Yum.
Well, Chef De Laurent, Chef De Freitas, you thankfully weren't trying to kill us with what you brought today. but I want to try, going back to your dish, I really want to try the garnish, which is this.
Oh, sorry, Adam, I should probably pass you that plate. There.
Terribly rude.
Just obsessed with eating it.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's this garnish, it's this salad with this fish roe on it, and it's just exquisite.
Well, a color is very important to me in the food. You know, it has to look good as well too.
Oh, that's so
well
delicious.
Tastes good.
So you have this interesting background, which is that you were born in what was then British Guyana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're from the West Indies.
Absolutely, yep.
And then you cooked in Key West before you came to Provincetown.
Yeah, I did.
The otherwise known as Provincetown South.
Yeah.
And is there sort of a West Indies sensibility to what you do here? Or,
well, in a way it is. I like spice and I like flavors a lot. And for some reason, when you grow up in the tropics, that all the food seems to have that flavor. But actually, it was interesting enough. I was listening to NPR and they had Alice Waters on,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
she
was
talking the other day.
And she was talking about, you know, the conversation came up about, you know, farmers growing organic food versus corporate farms and how it, you know, and people can't afford to have that. And in Guyana, everybody ate local food, and I go to the market and pick up the food. So the food is all grown and it is organic because people don't have enough money to spend for a lot of fertilizers, and I think the food tastes better because of that. And I try to, you know, try to keep that flavors in my mind when I'm cooking. But we don't have that problem in Guyana that we have here.
Right.
America.
Well, I certainly taste Provincetown in what you brought to us today, and that's really, really nice because I'd kind of rather be there, frankly. But anyway, shouldn't say that on the radio. So, folks, you can catch Tiffany Faison and Lawrence DeFreitas this Saturday at the Taste of Provincetown at the Town Hall Auditorium in P-Town. More information is at RadioBoston.org. Chefs, thank you so much.
Thank you both.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Yep.
Well, coming up after the break, presidential candidate Newt Gingrich joins us to talk about his campaign in New Hampshire. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.